We have some special guests in today. We have our missionary team from Recife, Brazil, that is two different groups of the Pruitts. So we have Mike and Arnie. Arnie is there. Is Mike missing?
He's in the nursery.
Mike's in the nursery. So Mike got Theo duty, huh? All right. And then we have Josh and Livia and Elise and Theo. Most of you have probably not met Elise and Theo. And so it is great to get to see Josh's kids. I want to give you a couple of things. If you would like to know more about the work that is going on in Recife, that both Mike and Arnie are involved in, and then Josh and Livia are involved in, I want to give you two websites, and we're going to put these in the prayer chain in the morning. But there's redeemingrecife.org, or there's bibleinrecife.com. And so we'll get that out on the prayer chain, and you can kind of see a little bit of the work that is going on. David and Shanna were just recently there, and so they gave us kind of an update on the work, and some great things are going on there. That's with the church there at Boa Vista, with the School of the Bible, and with all of the involvement that this family has in that. Okay, I've been privileged to know Josh since he was a junior high kid. They don't call it junior high in Brazil. What do they call it there, middle school? Something like that. When I first went to Brazil, I got Josh's room. Well, I got all the brothers' room, and they said, I don't know where you guys slept, but I got their bedroom. And I remember Josh telling me, don't mess with my computer stuff. And so he has always been a great joy in my life. Some of you will remember that he served us for a couple of summers as one of our interns here. And like so many of our interns, has gone on to do great things in the kingdom of God. So Josh is going to be our preacher this morning. So I want you to welcome with me Josh. But before we do that, let's pray over him and the work in Recife. Heavenly Father, for a family that we love, we pray a blessing upon them. As they serve you in your kingdom in Recife, not only at the Boa Vista Church and not only in the School of the Bible, but all over that large metropolis, we pray that you will bless their efforts and you will magnify their voice as they reach the lost of that world. May they inspire us to do the same thing in our community that we love as much as they do. Thank you again for this family, and thank you for Josh, and be with him as he brings the word of the Lord to us. We pray in your son's name, amen. Let's welcome Josh. Josh.
Thank you, Doug. It's always a great blessing to be here back in Roswell. It definitely feels like a homecoming. I wish I could visit more often than I do. But every time I have visited the past couple of years, I've been bringing someone new. First, it was my wife, then my daughter, and now my son, Theo. And it's always fun to show them where I used to live, show them the sights I used to see, the aliens that we used to visit here. And just everything is so new, and it's so much fun to have them experience it for the first time. So I thank this congregation for welcoming my family and for having support us throughout all of these decades, really. And like I said, I wish I could be here more often. I wish Roswell was closer. This time it took us about 3 flights and then a long trip from Houston to Dallas, Dallas to Roswell, to be able to be here today. But you guys definitely have a special place in my heart. And, you know, the reality is I enjoy living in Brazil, but there's so much I miss from the States. I enjoy living in Brazil, but I miss the people. The people are something unique to hear. I enjoy living in Brazil, but I miss how organized traffic is in the U.S. I miss how things are punctual, how should they start on time, how they go according to the plan. I miss how project-oriented things are, and things just get done here in the U.S. I miss the large meals and all the bacon you can eat, and the large breakfasts and biscuits and gravy. I miss all of that in Brazil. But you see, when I'm in the U.S., and the times that I've lived here, I enjoy living here, but I miss so much from Brazil. I miss the people there, the people that are unique to Brazil. I miss how crazy traffic can be. I miss how unpunctual, uninformal things are and how people-oriented things tend to be, even if we don't get anything done. I miss the lighter meals, the fresh vegetables and the fresh fruit we get to eat. And it's a funny feeling I have to live with of always being somewhere but thinking of somewhere else. And I never understood this unease that was inside of me, this discomfort, this feeling that I'm somewhere thinking of somewhere else. Until I went to LCU, I went to college, and I discovered there was such a thing called third culture kids. There are books written about them. There are groups that meet to talk about them. There are camps and retreats for them. And third culture kids, they are kids who have been raised by military, missionary, or businessman parents who have to travel the world often. So the kids are raised in between cultures, basically. So they're raised without really having one place as home their whole life. And so no matter where they are in the world, they can easily adapt to different circumstances, but they hardly ever feel home anywhere. Just because they've grown up in so many different cultures and different countries and different circumstances. There's always this sense that there's something missing. There's always this sense of unease, of discomfort, of not being home. And as I was in this trip traveling, it dawned on me a little bit. And I came to think, you know, that maybe there's a deeper sense to this comfort. Maybe there's a deeper sense to this longing of being somewhere but wanting to be somewhere else sometimes. And I've come to realize that in a sense, we are all third culture kids. It's not just me. But you share some of these same traits. If you read with me in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household." Paul tells us that we are all in a place that is not really our home. We are actually members of God's family. We're citizens of God's country. And even though we live in this country and we're citizens of the United States and we live in Roswell, it's not really our home. There is a sense in that something is missing. Something is out of place. Something, we should feel a sense of discomfort here. We should feel a sense of unease. That while we might like living here, there's something missing. There's something about us, something that we need, something that we desire, that just can't be found here. And the truth is, we should start to worry when things become too comfortable. A red alert should signal somewhere if we feel like our life is just a breeze. Because we live in a culture that strives to find comfort at all costs. We live in a culture that they fill us up with comfort foods. They fill us up with comfort movies and books and activities. We have comfortable beds. We have comfortable houses. We have friends who we feel comfortable around. Some of us have comfortable jobs, comfortable bank accounts, comfortable retirement plans, comfortable health. All of those provide a sense of safety and comfort. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable where you are in life. The problem is when the need for comfort becomes greater than your need for God. The problem becomes when your pursuit for comfort is greater than your pursuit of God. And so we see this so too often. People who avoid church because it's uncomfortable to go, to get ready, to leave your house, to see those people who bother you, who annoy you. It's not comfortable sometimes. And it's not comfortable sometimes to be involved in ministry. And people avoid ministry because it doesn't fit comfortably in our schedules or with the things we prefer to do or that we like to do. And we avoid reading the Bible and we avoid difficult conversations because it's uncomfortable to face our sin, to talk about it. And we just avoid it because we want to feel comfortable. And this world, it urges you. The world urges you. You don't have to feel uncomfortable. You don't have to. You don't want to feel uncomfortable? You shouldn't feel uncomfortable. So the world tells you if you are uncomfortable with your spouse, there's someone else out there for you. If you're uncomfortable with your sexuality, well, you were just born that way. Embrace it. If you are uncomfortable with your church, you can just always find another one. Just look for another one until you find one that suits all your needs. If you're uncomfortable with what the Bible says, well, just interpret it according to your own truth. That's what the world will tell you. But you see, Peter, he didn't buy into the worship of comfort. In fact, he says that we should live as if there's a war waging inside us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." You see, this is the reality of those who are in this world but are not of it. While we are living here, while we may enjoy the blessings that God has given us, we should not feel at ease with how things are. There should be a sense of discomfort that God's kingdom is here, but it's not here yet, and it needs to be here more. That we desire to see God working in our lives, God filling our lives and filling the lives of those around us. And if that's not the case, then we must feel uncomfortable about it. I like the way Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." Paul says, Christ's love compels us. I actually like the way it says, it reads in Portuguese. In Portuguese, it reads, "O amor de Cristo nos constrange." And this word constrange, which is translated as compelling, to compel us, it actually means to embarrass us, to unease us, to give us discomfort. And that's what Paul understands. He's saying you cannot feel the scope, you cannot see the depth of the love of Christ and not feel compelled, embarrassed, discomfort, at unease if you're not living for that love, if you're not sharing that love in this world. The love of Christ, it compels us to mission. It draws us to holiness. It motivates us to long to be somewhere else, to long for something more. You see, God uses the moments that we feel discomfort. God uses the moments that we feel pain. He uses the moments that we struggle. And so as Christians, what makes us different from the world is that we don't run away from these moments in desperate agony or fear. We embrace the moments of struggle and discomfort and pain because we know God works through those. He brings us closer to Him through these moments. I remember a famous author, he was explaining his method of creating a story. He said, "Whenever I think about a character, I describe how that character is in the beginning and he's flawed. Maybe he's not a loving character. Maybe he's an impatient character. Maybe he's got some kind of addiction. Maybe he's got whatever it be the flaw." And he describes that by the end of the story, "I want this character to overcome that flaw. I want this character to be a better person, to be a wholesome person." And he says there's only one ingredient that you can put in the middle of this story for this character, flawed character, to become this new person. And he says you add struggle. You add pain. You add suffering. There's no character that in the beginning of the story is flawed and becomes an overcomer because he had only joys in his life, only success, only rewards. It is pain and suffering, unease and discomfort that helps us be molded into the image of Christ. And so we understand that God is working all things for those who love Him. And He's trying to help us become from that flawed character into a character that is more like the image of Christ. And there's only one way through that. It's through suffering. It's through discomfort. It's through the work of the hands of God. And so we can rest assured in that. Because even that we face struggles, those are the moments that mold us for our new home. Mold us into the citizens that we're meant to be, the citizens of heaven. And while we may enjoy the comforts in this life, we understand that the moments that we feel discomfort are the moments that God brings us closer to Him. And that's what it means to live by faith. That's what it means to anticipate our true home. A true everlasting comfort will be found when God is the source of our comfort. True and everlasting comfort will finally be found in God. Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Do you want to be a part of this new city? Do you want to be someone like the people listed in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith who God is not ashamed to be called their God? They lived in this earth. They struggled. They embraced challenges because they were looking towards something new. They were looking towards God who would mold them and shape them and through struggles and pain create them into men and women more into the image of Christ. And so when we go to church and when we love those people that annoy us, or when we go to church and we struggle to edify someone else, God is shaping us into the men and women who He wants us to be. When we are involved in ministry and the ministry is dirty and the ministry is heavy work and the ministry takes all of our energy and it takes our time and it requires our money, and we're involved blessing other people's life, God is working in our life, shaping us into the image of Christ. And when we are not comfortable with our sin, and when we tackle even our most secret of sins, and when we struggle to overcome and deal with that, God is shaping us into the image of Christ. And when we stick with our spouse or we stick with whoever it is through thick and thin and we don't give up on them, God is shaping us into the image of Christ. And those are things that we can't have when we're comfortable. Those are things that don't happen when life is just a breeze. And the world is looking at how we face pain and discomfort. And the world wants to see how we as Christians, who are disciples of Jesus, who hang on that cross, the most uncomfortable places of places, they want to see us endure pain with hope. Endure pain looking at our heavenly home. And to find our comfort and to find our satisfaction in God alone. If you are here today and you're struggling to find your satisfaction and your comfort in God, I would invite you to say a prayer, to reconsider, to be reminded that true comfort is really only possible to be found in God. And if you are shunning away or running away from situations that are not comfortable, but that God is calling you to serve, would you consider serving and letting God shape and mold you into someone more like Christ? If you are not yet a member of this new heavenly home, if you have not given your life to Christ, would you consider making that decision? If you need anything at all, and this church can help you, I invite you to come up front as we stand and sing, or to find someone after the worship service, so that we may together look to our heavenly home and to find satisfaction in God. Amen.